Ramona Tira Nashari Jaya Radha Madhava Vandamihari Jaya Govindana Vallabha Yasoda Nandana, Brother Dandarandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Namacharya Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem Sagaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar. Shri Gaur Bhaktivedanta ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopida Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Sri Vrindavan Dhan ki jai. Namadut Nam ki jai. Gang Jamuna Tulasi Bhakti Devi ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki jai. Go Premanandi. All gloriously assembled devotees. All gloriously assembled devotees. All gloriously assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswata Devi Gauravani Prachadane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1 Chapter 15 Verse 50. Draupadi cha tadagyaya Patinam anapekshatam Vasudeve Bhagavati Ekanta Matir Apatam
Ekanta Matir Apatam Draupadi Tadagyaya Draupadi Chadagyaya Patinam anapekshatam Vasudeve Bhagavati Ekanta Matir Apatam
Draupadi.
Draupadi,
the wife of the Pandavas. Cha. And tada. At that time. Agyaya. Knowing Lord Krishna fully well. Patinam.
Of the husbands.
Anapekshatam.
Did not care for her.
Vasudevi. Unto Lord Vasudev.
Bhagavati.
The personality of Godhead.
He.
Exactly.
Ekanta.
Absolutely.
Mati.
Concentration.
Apa.
Got.
Tam.
Him, the Lord. Translation, Draupadi also saw that her husbands, without caring for her, were leaving home. She knew well that Lord Vasudev, Krishna, the personality of Godhead, both she and Subhadra became absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and attained the same results as their husbands. Prabhupada, while flying an airplane, one cannot take care of other planes. Everyone has to take care of his own plane. And if there is any danger, no other plane can help another in that condition. Similarly, at the end of life, when one has to go back home, back to Godhead, everyone has to take care of himself without help rendered by another. The help is, however, offered on the ground before flying in space. Similarly, the spiritual master, the father, the mother, relatives, the husband, and others can all render help during one's lifetime, but while crossing the sea, one has to take care of himself and utilize the instructions formerly received. Draupadi had five husbands, and no one asked Draupadi to come. Draupadi had to take care of herself without waiting for her great husbands. And because she was already trained, she at once took to concentration upon the lotus feet of Lord Vasudev, Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The wives also got the same result as their husbands in the same manner. That is to say, without changing their bodies, they reached the destination of Godhead. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur suggests that both Draupadi and Subhadra, although her name is not mentioned here, got the same result. None of them had to quit the body. Translation, Draupadi also saw that her husbands, without caring for her, were leaving home. She knew well about Lord Vasudev, Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Both she and Subhadra became absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and attained the same results as their husbands. So this verse explains that the Pandavas actually didn't give any further guidance to Draupadi. And still, Draupadi knew exactly what to do. So she concentrated on the Supreme Lord, and she attained the Supreme Lord just as her husbands did. So Prabhupada in the purport comments here how if you're flying an airplane, then you got to depend on your own facilities there. You can't depend on somebody else. However, before going up in the airplane and flying it, you make all sorts of preparations for that. You learn everything previously. So similarly, when you're about to depart from this body, you're on your own. But before that, you make some preparations. And therefore, when you're flying your airplane, so to speak, you don't get in any trouble. And you don't get a panic or fearful or whatever. You don't have an accident. So this analogy illustrates the fact that we have to prepare ourselves. And one of the preparations is death. It's not the only preparation, but that's one significant preparation we have to make in this lifetime, because everybody dies. Okay. Now, unfortunately, the people don't understand that, because they say, okay, die, that's it, finished. But that's not the end. You go to another body, or you attain the spiritual world. You go somewhere. You know, it doesn't just end because you're not the body, actually. You're the Atma, the spirit soul. So you either get another material body somewhere, or you go to the spiritual world, or you get liberation. You go somewhere, anyway. So a responsible person will therefore make preparations for that. If we don't believe in an afterlife or anything, or that the soul is eternal, then of course we don't make any preparations. So therefore, we have to achieve everything in this lifetime. But if there is no soul at all, then what is the goal of life? So then the goal of life simply becomes enjoyment of your material body. So this is what we call the materialist. And in India, there was a philosopher called Charvaka Muni. And he established a whole group called the Lokayatas. And their belief was the Atma is the body. And the whole goal of life is to satisfy your body. So you enjoy in this material world. That's it. Finished. And when you die, that's it. Finished. So all we can do is enjoy as much as we can now. And that was their philosophy. Completely atheistic. No Atma, no God, nothing. So there's some people like that in this material world now. And it's always been a tendency. We see in different countries of the world, people come up with this philosophy. We call it materialism or hedonism or whatever. On the other hand, some people do have faith that there's an afterlife of something, and maybe a heaven, like in the Christian religion, or maybe birth after birth after birth, as we find in the Vedic literature. We have to make a preparation for that. So if you believe there is something after death, then you should prepare for it. If you don't, you're foolish. Okay? So it is like a person who's renting a house. So every month we pay the rent, or whatever week or every few weeks we pay the rent, and we can stay in the house. But the landlord may have a contract where at the end of so-and-so period, you have to get out. So, of course, before you sign your contract, you should know that. This is the length of my contract. Then I have to get out. If you're intelligent, then you will understand, yes, I've got to stay here for 1 year or 2 years or whatever. At the end of the time, I'll have to get another, I have to move to another house. So I should look ahead of time and find out what's a good house, according to my capacity to rent the house. If a person is foolish, he will not do anything. He'll just live in his house. And then when it comes time to leave his house, then what does he do? He gets out of his house and he's got nowhere to go. That's foolish. Of course, eventually he finds a place. It may not be very good. It may be a miserable place. Or it may be sitting on the street or something. So it's foolish not to prepare when you know that you're going to have to change your house. Similarly, it is also foolish to not prepare for your next life, whatever that may be. And if you don't do that, then that's considered very, very foolish. Yeah. Even then, it is the human propensity to forget. So that's why when Yudhisthira was asked questions by the Yaksha, what is the most astonishing thing in this world? This is a bunch of riddles with clever answers. He asked this question to Yudhisthira to test him. And then Yudhisthira answers, the most astonishing thing in this world is that everybody goes to the abode of Yamaraj. Everybody dies. Okay, that's... The astonishing thing is, though everybody knows that, everybody thinks I'm going to live forever. They make no preparation for what happens after death. They know they're going to die. They don't make any preparation. So they may not believe in God, or they may not believe in afterlife. Okay, then they will do that. But even if they do understand that, they accept, okay, we go to another body, still they forget. And they just go on with their life, and then finally they die and say, oh, I made a mistake here, I didn't do anything. So this is the foolish human being. Even if we get the knowledge, still we forget it. Yeah? So therefore the Vedic literatures repeatedly remind us of this, that you're going to die and you should make preparations because you'll get another body somewhere or other. So the intelligent person, if he's told he has to leave his house, then he'll look for another house. Now what kind of house he wants? At least as good as the house he is in, but probably better house, better bargain or whatever. So he'll save up his money. And maybe work a little harder, save up his money so that he can invest in getting a new house, a rent house at a higher in a good place or whatever like this. So similarly, in this world, if we understand we get another body, then we should think, well, I have to prepare for that. I have to at least get as good a life I've got now, probably be better if I'm going to continue in this world. The Vedic literatures give you a little hint at what you do. You have to do punyas. You have to act according to scriptures, follow Dharma nicely. Then you get a good reward next time. So that's a preparation for next lifetime. Okay, get a better body, whatever like that. Yeah? And those who ignore this and they commit sinful activities, then they get the result of that. They get more suffering in their next lifetime. Yeah. Or they may become an animal, a dog or a cat or whatever. Or kangaroo even. So, or a plant also. Banana tree. So, in this way, people are very foolish and they don't believe it or whatever. They don't have enough energy to do it. If they know, yeah, I get karma, but they don't have enough energy like that. Or they can't help themselves. In spite of the fact that they know it's wrong and they shouldn't do it and they're going to get a bad result, they look at the immediate enjoyment they get from it. Anyway, this is nice. And they ignore the final result, the karma. Eh? So that means people cannot control their senses. And that's a basic problem in the human being. And therefore, we end up in all sorts of unfortunate positions in our next life. So, now that is why the intelligent person will very carefully decide, make choices which are beneficial in the long run. Now, it is difficult for some human beings to do that. It's day-to-day survival, more or less. We find that here in Australia, people are out of a job, no savings, nothing. They just live for day-to-day and they spend it all up that month. The next month they're waiting for their next paycheck if they got a job. If they don't have a job, then they got no money. So this is the foolish condition of the human being. No control of the senses. So in the lower modes, it's very difficult to think like that. You think of immediate result. If you get to sattva guna, then you think long term. What's for the future of this lifetime, and what's for the future next lifetime? You can think like that. But if you're too attached to the material world, you can only think what's tomorrow, what's next week, what's next month. Maybe you can do that. Over 1 year or 2 years, you can't even think that much, because you're so limited by your senses and your desire to get immediate enjoyment. So if you get a sattva guna, then that's good. You can really plan things out very nicely, but otherwise you cannot. So to help us, scripture just enforces things. You got to do this. You got to do that. And then they have even a king up there who makes you do it sometimes. The pious king will make everybody do things and make them follow the orders, even if they don't want to. So that's why we have the system of Dharma and a king to enforce the Dharma, because people generally don't like to follow those rules. They want to be a little free. But then the king knows that, you know, we have to control the people. We have to put some limitation on them this way. And of course, some people don't follow anyway, and they just do whatever they want. And they get the result of that also. So anyway, the intelligent people, then they will see long-term results. You've got to get long-term results, next life, etc. So they will follow the scripture. They will have faith in the scripture, and they will understand that, yes, if I do this now, I get good result, next life, next life, next life. So that's a sattvic person. He can do that. And of course, he's supposed to also tell everybody that in society. So that's the brahmana's job, to inform everybody of how they should conduct their life and inspire them to strive for long-term result in the future. So that's as far as material world is concerned, but the scriptures go beyond that. They're not just trying to get us another body in this world, and which is tolerable, minimum of suffering, but they want to give us eternal life. Like just like if you have you rent houses and you have to go from house to house to house to house to house, then after a while it gets a little bit troublesome. Then you say, maybe I should buy a house, a permanent house. Then I don't have to leave ever. Of course, that's also illusion, because when they die, they have to leave the house anyway. But relatively, it's good. Yeah? So spiritually, there is a solution. You don't have to go from body to body to body. You get one body, and you can stay in that body eternally. Finished. Very good. Yeah? So that's what higher part of scripture gives us. We get a permanent solution. One, of course, is jnana and yoga. Permanent solution is just get out of the houses completely. No more rent. You don't have to pay any rent. But it doesn't tell you where you're going to go or anything. You're just kind of in a limbo type. But you're at least free from the rent. You don't have to go from house to house. Another solution is, not only you don't have to go to house, but you got a big house, a better house. And you got a better body, everything. So that's exactly what we see here happens to Yudhisthira's brothers and Draupadi and Subhadra. They attain the Supreme Lord, planet of the Supreme Lord. They have spiritual bodies, and they're serving the Lord there. But to do that, then you have to follow a completely different process. You cannot just go for, renting a house and then getting more money and then purchasing a house like that. It doesn't work. You can't use material means to get to that permanent residence, the spiritual world. It doesn't work. But there is another way. Yes, we can't use material money, but essentially we can purchase it spiritually. So what's the spiritual price to get to the spiritual world? So the price is prema, complete devotion to the Lord, complete love. If you have pure love in your heart for the Lord, that's the price. Then you get there. So it's not a material price. It's got nothing to do with the material qualification at all. So the prema is part of the soul, the atma. So now we're poor. We don't have the prema. So how do we get the prema? You can't purchase it with money or anything like that. Well, you have to earn it a different way. And that's through a certain practice that is sadhana bhakti. We practice sadhana bhakti, and then eventually it grows, the bhakti grows until it becomes prema. It manifests as prema. Yeah? And actually that prema is spiritual. It's from the spiritual world. It's eternal. But by our practice, it manifests in the jiva. So that part of the spiritual world is actually manifesting in us as we do bhakti and get a prema. And once we're qualified, then we get in the spiritual world. Otherwise, we can't get there. We're not qualified. But when we become exactly like the spiritual world, full of prema, then we can nicely go there. Okay. So, therefore, the scriptures teach us a process of getting a permanent place, a permanent body, and permanent happiness with the Supreme Lord. In the material world, I gave the example of the house. Yeah. So that's one thing, we like the house, but actually what do you do in the house? You sit there in the house by yourself? No. So what people do? They raise families. They get married and have children. That's what the house is for. So then they're thinking, I'll get the house and then I'll have my family and then we'll be happy. So it's not just getting the house, but you have to have the family there and whatever. Then you're happy. Unfortunately, that doesn't work either because everybody is subject to death and so everybody dies eventually. Yeah? And even the relationships don't work out and it's not so happy after all. When we call love is not so perfect in the material world. It's subject to tragedy also. Deception, tragedy, anger, whatever. And the relationships all mostly are not perfect at all. Yeah. So that we're striving for that some ideal happiness through relationships of love. And we don't get it also. And then we got to get another body, and then we try again. And we get another body, we try again. Okay. Or in this lifetime, we keep trying and trying and trying also. Okay. So we see some people, they get married, they get divorced. Then they try again, and they get divorced again. And they try again. You know, so they may go through, I think somebody's got 12 divorces or something like that in their life. I know people that have 4 already, but some may have 12 divorces in their life. Again, they keep trying and trying, it fails. Try, fail. But there's one thing, they're attempting to get some sort of happiness someplace, but they can't get it. It doesn't work out somehow or other. Yeah. So there is a counterpart. Yes, you can get the happiness, you can get the permanent house, and you can get the perfect family also. And it's eternal. So that perfect family is Krishna's family in the spiritual world. But I said you have to be qualified for that. You have to be like the spiritual world. You got to have that same shakti, the same energy, same vibration level of prema. Then you can enter there. Krishna is very merciful, and he says, okay, jivas, you have the capacity for this. It's natural for you also to develop that prema, that love. But even though you don't have it, you can develop it. It's possible. It's your capacity. Yeah? So fortunate jivas will make that choice, and they'll start working on the capacity and developing that love. And Krishna is very free, so he keeps helping and giving to you. Yeah? So this is the solution to our problem. So the intelligent person will go for this highest goal instead of going for better life and punya and getting a better body. He'll go for the permanent solution in the spiritual world. But the only way you can get that is by that prema. And the condition for prema is not just love, but unconditional love, where we don't have any expectation for ourselves. Yeah? So that's unknown to us at the moment. We're always expecting something. That's the nature of the jiva in the material world. We are the center of enjoyment for ourselves, and we're trying to get something for ourselves at all times. So all the relationships also fail because of that. So we have to change that somehow or other. So that is what the practice of bhakti is, to take the center of love away from ourselves and make the center Krishna. When that is perfect, then you have prema, and then you go to the spiritual world. Yeah. So the scriptures teach us the method, and Krishna makes the arrangement, so it's possible for the jiva to do this, but there's only some jivas that will take the opportunity. And most, I said, they're in the lower modes, and they can't see beyond a few days in the future. They can't see next life. They can't see final goal after many lives or whatever. So unfortunate for them. So one who gets the good fortune to make the right choices, very good, then he can solve the problems of life. So what is the What determines your good fortune? Is it just luck or chance that it happens? In one sense, no. There is a cause. And what is the cause? The cause is the mercy of devotees. So Prabhupada mentions here how when you're on the ground, then you get the advice from the spiritual master, the father and the mother and the relatives and the husband and whatever. You get from different devotees, you get the good advice, you get the knowledge, and understanding the process and what the goal is. You absorb all that, then when you die, then finished. You've prepared, and then you can do it. Yeah? So it is. We do bhakti, and how do we do bhakti? We have to make the connection first, and to start the whole process. So that is through the mercy of devotees, and that is why the devotees are respected and worshipped in this world, because they are the only source of hope for everybody in this material world. Of course, people will have different levels of hope, but then this is the highest level of hope. This is the highest goal. So this is what the devotees are interested in rather than the lower levels. This is the thing they can contribute. Others maybe give advice on other levels, but the devotees' level is to give the final solution, the highest solution of all. So it's up to the devotees. It's their mercy that they give this out to others. So if the devotees are merciful, then one gets the good fortune to start the process of devotional service, and then when you leave the body, you can get the right result. And even if you don't get, you're not perfect, if you don't have prema, then you can't get to the spiritual world, but at least in your next body, you can continue the process again and again and again until you get that prema. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says nothing is lost in this process. So even if you die, no problem, and you're not complete. You continue again next lifetime, and continue until you get to the highest level of prema. So once it starts, then you can continue. So each time you go, you get a better airplane. And you can fly higher and higher and higher until you get the thing that gets you to the spiritual world. So this is the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. Okay, any question there?
On your point, in self-aware we can think long-term, like next month, stuff like this. That makes sense to me, but I've also heard in class that being in self-aware means you're being in the moment. Mode of passion is like you're always living in the future, and ignorance is being in the past.
So yeah. But usually the future for the people in the lower mode is next day or next week, plan for sense enjoyment. They're dreaming of their next sense enjoyment in this world, not even next world, because they don't have such knowledge or faith, and they don't have a scope for planning beyond this body. Yeah? So they do have, they think in the future, but only the future of this lifetime. And then because of that, they're discontent with now. They're thinking, this is no good. I got to get this next week, the next month or whatever.
Maharaj, in relation to when you go to spiritual world, everything is eternal. Here, I always think of the story of Jaya and Vijaya, and also the fact that you said that unless you have a brain, you cannot see God. Mm-hmm. But the Kumaras were seeing the Lord in that story.
So the Kumaras actually are Shaktivesh avatars, and they have Shantarasa, so they have a type of prema. So they can see the Lord. Their prema is a little bit mixed with a little jnana, etc., but they actually have Shantarasa, which is part of prema.
So they were not pure impersonalists?
No. They were actually devotees. They're devotees. Yeah. The jnanis can't see the form of the Lord at all and don't want to see the form of the Lord. So they're not actually jnanis. They're bhaktas, but Shantabhaktas. Yeah. And the other thing was the...
Yeah, how come... So they saw God because actually they had...
Yeah, they were devotees.
Yeah.
Actually, they're Shaktivesh avatars also, so they have eternal bodies by nature as jivas, but they got special power to preach jnana in the material world. But they're also devotees, but they preach jnana.
So it looks like that was the first time that they were going to, like,
Oh, that's that we can say is just a lila, and it will happen periodically like that. That they do this, yeah. Well, the other is jaya and vijaya. Well, how do they fall if they're in the spiritual world? If you read the third canto, then Prabhupada says this is daiva. This is a special arrangement of the Lord for his pastimes. So we cannot say that they had a fault, jaya and vijaya. They had a fault, and that's why they fell. So the Lord made this arrangement of that they would get angry and then they get cursed by the Kumaras. And of course, why would the Kumaras curse anybody? Because they're in Shantarasa. But the whole thing was an arrangement of the Lord for his pastimes. That's one thing. The other is that, where there's an explanation given by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that actually Jaya and Vijaya didn't fall. They had expansions. And that expanded into the demons in the material world, and they actually maintain their positions in the spiritual world. So, in other words, the Lord cannot bear separation from his devotees in prema. This, of course, is Vaikuntha, not even Krishna, but even in Vaikuntha, the Lord has a relationship with his gatekeepers, who are in Dasya Rasa, and he cannot bear separation from them. So he'll never allow them to leave, because they have prema. So at the same time, he had to satisfy that curse of the Kumaras that they should, you know, go to the material world. So therefore, he arranged and then their expansions went into the material world as demons, and then they merged back together afterwards. That's his explanation.
So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is that explanation from the Shastra?
Yeah. And he quotes that actually we see in, I think, 8th canto there, there's a big fight. Against the demons, and Jaya and Vijaya are there in the fight. So therefore they're in the spiritual world, plus they came in the material world as the demons. And then they went back again and merged in their bodies again. So simultaneously they're in both places. What happened?
Where would someone like him end up, where he had so many great qualities of the devotee, so much love for the Lord, but didn't understand him in full, like it says we should in these Upanishads?
There are plenty of opportunities in next life, left life. He could become a devotee, and next lifetime maybe he gets Shantarasa or something like that ultimately, or if he gets association of devotees and he starts worshipping form of the Lord, and seriously, then he can go to Dasya Ras or something like that. So it's not that it ends with this lifetime. He could go, you know, into another lifetime and advance from there. Or maybe he, we don't know. Did he have some vision of the form of God someplace? He had some love, but, you know, what was that? If he did have a form of the Lord, then he could get up to Dasya Rasa, perhaps a weak form of Dasya Rasa.
Thank you.
Of course, I don't know the details of his, you know, meditation or whatever, what it was.
Hi, Krishna. You talk about prema developing, needing to be developed inside the jiva.
Yeah.
So this implies that that it doesn't already exist in the jiva. But Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that the soul is unchanging. Suggests that the prema is the natural condition of the jiva.
Yeah. So the jiva is unchanging in one sense. That is, he has a sarup, which is a little particle, and he has consciousness, and he has ability to perceive things and to experience things like happiness, etc. So these are that's the sarup of the jiva. But we see that at the same time, if nothing could change, then he would be like a rock. Because we know that in the spiritual world, the devotees have thoughts and they do actions, so that's change in one sense. So then what happens? They're supposed to be unchangeable, change. So we do have the unchangeable aspect of the jiva, his sarup is unchanging, but nevertheless, then we do have thoughts and things in the spirit, emotions in the spiritual world, which keep changing. And that's the only way that rasa comes about, because there's continual change. There's separation, there's meeting, there is intense love, there is lamentation in the spiritual world. It's all, that's change in one sense. So from the material point of view, that may look, oh, that's Maya. We want peaceful existence. So that's why some people just go for Brahman. That's no change. Nothing happens. So that's the Sarupa, the Jiva, without any added qualities, without any emotions, without any perceptions, without any action. This Brahman, this being, that's it. But there is a capacity of the Jiva, as I said, he has the capacity for experiencing happiness, etc., and knowledge and action, etc. So that's expressed nicely in the spiritual world, because he has a form, he has senses, he can see things, he can hear things, he can do things, etc. And the Jiva, he has an emotional mind or whatever, he can have love for the Supreme Lord, and it changes all the time, it increases all the time. So in that sense, there is change. It's not that everything is completely static in the Jiva in the spiritual world. But he does have some of this unchanging nature in terms of a sarup. And over that, then we get these changeable things as well.
So we wouldn't say that prema is the natural condition of the jiva?
The prema?
It's the natural condition.
Well, we say it is, because that's where the jiva can attain the highest bliss. And bliss is, we can say, ultimately the highest nature of the jiva. But in the material, obviously, we don't have the highest bliss. We're looking for it, but we don't have it. So simultaneously, it is our nature, but at the same time, we don't have it here. We got the capacity for it. In that sense, it's natural to us. So therefore, it is said that the Guru and Krishna, by their mercy, we get the seed of bhakti. Before that, we don't have the seed, so we can't cultivate anything. So then the seed grows and grows and grows, and it becomes a plant, then it becomes a flower, then it becomes a fruit. But if you don't have the seed, nothing happens. So if we don't get the seed of bhakti, the mercy of devotees and Krishna, then nothing happens. We can say it's there in one sense, but what's the use of it? Because nothing will happen to it. And you can go on for a whole lifetime of Brahma without anything happening if you don't get the mercy of devotees and you don't get the seed.
I gave the example most people are trying to achieve everything they can in one lifetime.
Yeah.
It reminds me, there's this like kind of fad now. It's called the bucket list.
You make all the list of the things you want to achieve in this lifetime.
Before you hit the bucket, you have to do all these things, make movies about it and stuff.
Yeah. Hey, go to see the pyramids and go to the Amazon forest or something.
As devotees, we don't really focus so much
on. Oh, we get a spiritual bucket list. Okay. Get prema, go to this place, go to Vaikuntha, or go to Goloka, or go to Raja, or go to Govardhan Hill. Get this type of sarup in the spiritual world. So, in other words, you should have goals, definitely. But the goals should be beyond this lifetime. Probably the bucket list for even in the material world, if it's a good bucket list, it will include something beyond the material world. In other words, they will strive for, some higher level and after death or whatever like that, by good qualities or moral standards or whatever. There's many, many reasons. One could be aparad, or one could be familiarity, which will maybe lead to aparad also. And another reason can be that they made a decision which was maybe premature in one sense. They suddenly join, but they're not so qualified to join. They fall back to their original level, and they're still struggling with their level of sense gratification. In other words, they didn't have enough faith to continue the process. So they may have joined prematurely out of enthusiasm, but the faith was not that strong. And therefore, they fell back to a lower level, let alone. So
There could be many different reasons for that, but there's nothing lost also, as long as they don't commit aparadhas. Because whatever they've attained in this lifetime, then they get the benefit in next lifetime, and next lifetime, and next lifetime. So they can always continue. It's not a problem for them. Of course, it's better if we can continue, and we get to nishtha, then generally you continue from that stage. And you know. But even when we see a person like Bharat on Baba's stage, he gave up. He started worshipping a deer, of all things. After he had seen, he had a vision of Vishnu, and he had sattvika ecstatic symptoms in Baba, but then he got attracted to a deer. And he developed a relationship with an emotional relationship with a deer of all things, not even a human being, but a deer, animal. Then he became an animal also. But the Lord did not forget him. And so in a deer body, he remembered his previous life by the grace of the Lord. And in next lifetime, he was so determined, because he still had memory of that previous life and the previous life, that he got prema. So but through his experience and the Lord's arrangement, he could advance from bhava to prema in three lifetimes. So the Lord didn't abandon him at that stage. So even at lower stages, the same thing is there. The Lord never forgets the devotees. So in the ninth chapter, then Krishna says that even if he commits the most abominable activity, he's still my devotee. Sado eva samantavya. He must be considered a devotee. So the Lord says that, and he follows that, and he still recognizes him as a devotee, even if he's done the sinful activity or whatever. And so if people fall away, fine. But the Lord keeps remembering those persons also, even if they don't continue in this lifetime. So as I said, neha bhikramana sosi pratyavaya na vidyate, nothing is lost in the process. Now, the exception, of course, is aparad. Then that can weaken the bhakti. But if you've done some devotional activity, whatever it is, it's to your credit. It's somewhere there. And even if it's not conscious, it's accidental, like taking prasadam accidentally, whatever. That's kind of a credit that's stuck on the jiva. And when you go to your next body, that's there. And you can build on that, and build on that, and build on that. And you get, you know, higher and higher results is that you accumulate more agyata sukritis like that. So even the accidental bhakti is not lost. It continues and builds up over lifetimes. Yeah. So that's the nature of bhakti. That's not there for the other processes. You get things and you lose things in karma or jnana like that, and you rise and fall, and you may be left with zero. But bhakti keeps increasing as long as you don't commit aparadhas. Okay. Hare Krishna.